Praise God to Psalm 35. Hallelujah. He's faithful to us. Amen. Glory to God. This is where we get our help, our instruction. Praise God. Orders from headquarters, as I like to say it. Just so you know, God knows best on how to make your life great. Praise God. I love you, Jesus, so much. So thankful. So grateful. Let's pray as we get into the Word this morning. Father, we honor you. We're so thankful to be in your house. And Father, to be amongst such precious people, I do count it an honor to be able to share your word with them. Father, I don't take that lightly. I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to do so. And Father, we need to hear from you. We need utterance from heaven. So Father, I thank you that you'll speak through me and that my words will not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that I would speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, we'll make sure to give you all the praise and glory. You're going to hit bullseyes this morning. I know it because you always do that. That's your desire to speak to us, Father. So thank you for talking to us this morning, for insight, for revelation, Father, for answers to questions. And we'll make sure to give you all the praise. We'll make sure to give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I started a series last week. And a few months ago, I was preaching. It was either a Wednesday or a Sunday here. And I made mention, because it was while I was preaching, the Lord dropped it in my heart, that it's easy to get the money that you need in life. It's really simple. It really is. But you got to know how to do it. I mentioned that there was a financial series coming down the pike that was going to teach you how to get the money that you need in this life. And I didn't know when that would be, and the Lord gave me the green light for it last week. And so we started last week. And the first place you have to start is you have to know that you know that you know that God wants you blessed. Amen. If there's any question in your mind what God wants for you, you can't have faith for what God doesn't want for you. And you can't have faith for something you don't know. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And when you find out, yes, He wants you blessed, you can then strive for the supply or the provision that belongs to you. And we saw last week, and I don't have time to rehash the whole thing. I'm only going to go actually to one verse for review in Psalm 35 and verse 27. We clearly showed you last week that God's heart for His children is for you to be blessed. What do you want for your children? Blessing. What do you want for your kids? You want prosperity. You want increase. You want blessing for them. And Psalm 35, verse 27 kind of keys us in. It just shows us one of the verses. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Now notice this. Which has pleasure. Pleasure is good. Pleasure is good feelings, right? Good thoughts, a good situation. Well, the Bible says that the Lord gets pleasure when what? When his servants prosper. Well, we're not servants anymore. We're children of God. So how much more for His children? It's way better for us than a servant. And the Bible, I mean, if you only had that verse, you'd know right there, God takes pleasure when I prosper. God doesn't want me broke. God doesn't want me in lack. God doesn't want me to struggle financially. God wants me to have more than enough. I mean, just by that verse alone would be enough to tell you. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of a servant. Hallelujah. So we saw that, and it's important to know that. Because we can't have anything outside of the boundaries of His will. Well, then in Isaiah 48:17, I said I'd only go to one verse to review, but this verse is kind of helping us to go forward today. We did mention it last week. But this is the start of going forward now. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Well, if the Lord wants us blessed, which we saw that, if He wants us provided for and taken care of financially, well, then He's going to have to instruct us, isn't He? Yeah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 48 and verse 17 says, thus says the Lord thy God, the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee or you to what? Profit. You know what profit is? That's extra. That's blessed. That's increase. He said, I teach you to profit, and I lead you by the way which you should go. Now, God's a gentleman. He is. If He wasn't, He would force everybody to get born again so nobody would miss heaven. But that's not how He does things. He gives people the opportunity to choose. He'll lead you and show you the way to go financially. But It's your job to be led by Him. He won't drag you down the road of prosperity. He won't drag you down the road of obedience. He won't drag you down the road of blessing. In fact, if you want to stay poor and broke, living paycheck to paycheck, stressed out in your mind financially, He'll let you. He'll let you. He doesn't want that for you, but He'll let you. But if you want, He'll lead you. And He'll say, I'll take you the way of prosperity. Just follow me, right? I used the example last Saturday, Caleb learned how to swim. And just weeks before, he learned how to swim. I mean, it looked like a shark attack in the water. What do I mean? You take the floaties off, there was more splashing going on than you could even think there could be. I mean, he'd just sink and daddy have to pick him back up. I kept telling him, you can't do it that way. Can't do it that way. Can't do it that way. I wanted so badly for him to learn to swim without those floaties because I knew all the extra fun we could start to have, right? Swimming to the bottom, getting stuff off the bottom, looking at each other underwater, doing fun things, right? It doesn't matter, though. If he wants to keep swimming like this with his head up and trying to swim like this, he's going to keep sinking. But when he finally listened to me and got his belly up like he did with his floaties and kicked his legs and did it nice and smooth, he swam, right? Praise God. It was a blessing. Well, I was trying to teach him all along. It's not like from the 2 weeks before or even the 3 weeks before he was any different level in his mental capacity. Physically, he was the same. What happened? He decided to start listening to Dad. And God says, I'll lead you in the way to go. I'll teach you how to profit. But if He lays it out for you and you don't choose to be guided or led by that, that's not on Him. So in this series, the Lord has put some things on my heart, probably the next 4 or 5 weeks that we're going to look at, that cause people to walk in decrease or poverty, that cause people to not walk in prosperity. And if something comes up in this series, you say, well, that's talking about me right there. I need to make an adjustment there. That could be why you're missing out. The Bible says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's not always the huge thing. Sometimes it's just a minor adjustment. You know that if you chart a course to fly across the country and you start on the East Coast and you're going to fly to, let's say, San Diego, California, and you're just one degree off, you will end up so many miles away from San Diego. One degree off. You could be one little adjustment off and the prosperity could be withheld from you. Well, let's find out. Let's sweep it clean. Let's find out what the Word says how to profit. If He said He'll teach us, well, then teach us, Father. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to learn. How are we going to learn? By His Word. The Word is a lamp. It's a light unto our feet. It's our GPS. It's our instruction. So we're going to learn how to profit. Praise God. Why? Because a couple of things. God wants you to profit because He loves you. He cares about you as a child. But the kingdom needs your money. I don't know if you know, but churches and the Word of God going across the world and getting books out and doing things for people. It's not free. It's not free. The kingdom is going to need finances. God wants you to be blessed. He wants His kingdom to be blessed. Amen. And so we're going to look at those things. And I'm tired of seeing people I love in the body of Christ, fellow brothers and sisters, going without. I don't like seeing people that I love in lack when it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. But before we do get instruction, it's important that you remember this as we go forward. Two things are vital. That if you don't have these two things down, you will not walk in. It doesn't matter what the teaching is. And number one is, when I teach you how to profit through the Bible, if you don't look at the Word of God through which the prism in which it was written, you won't receive the instruction of the teaching. What do I mean? The Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that God is a God of love. The Bible was written through the prism or through the avenue or the channel of love. If you don't see it through that way, You'll be tempted to mistrust it. You'll be tempted to have fear about what the Bible says financially. You'll be tempted to think God's after your money, trying to take from you. But see, love never takes. Love always increases. Love always blesses. Love always wants better for somebody. And if you don't see this instruction through that channel or through the eyes of the way God wrote it, you won't receive it. You'll be tempted to always be skeptical. Well, I don't know. Well, you can't, you got to dive all in with God. Amen. You got to dive all in with God.
Hallelujah.
And, people get bitter. They get into fear. They mistrust. They just don't see it written through the eyes that it was written. God put instruction in here because He loves us. He wants us better. And number two, it's important to check yourself for symptoms that could really hurt you. What do I mean by that? Well, go to Matthew 6:21, and I'll show you what I mean by that. So number one, you got to see it through the right prism. You got to look through the right glasses to see the Bible was written in love. Well, look what Matthew 6:21 says. It says, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." He says your money's attached to your heart. Well, what do I mean by checking for symptoms? If at any time the mention of anything biblically, financially, turns you off, upsets you, causes you to be offended, causes you to be frustrated, causes you to be angry, you get annoyed. Why is he talking about that? You have a heart problem. Because the Bible says where your heart is, your money is. And if God clearly says something about where to put your money, and that makes you mad, you have a heart problem. And people in the natural that have heart problems, when they don't get them checked, it leads to trouble. When they have symptoms. And if you have symptoms, what's a symptom of a spiritual heart problem with money? You get angry at the word tithe, the word offering, the word to be a blessing, right? To sow. Anything, obedience financially, turns you off, gets you angry, gets you upset, gets you doubting. You have a heart problem. And you better take care of that heart problem. Because heart problems don't lead to good things. It's true. Where your money is an indicator of your heart. That's why finances, it's not just money as usual. God sees money as your heart. Because your money and your heart are one. They are attached. So if you have a problem with giving God your money, you have a problem with giving God your heart. And that's an issue that you better get worked out. Because He's after the whole of you. He's after the heart of you, praise God. Hallelujah. So we better make sure we're seeing it right, and we better make sure that if we have symptoms of this, anything that bothers us financially in the Word, we better get it fixed. But it's important to know that when it comes to prosperity, there's a man-word side and a God-word side. What do I mean? We'll go to Psalms 112, verse 1. Psalms 112, verse 1. There's a man side and a God side. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, what is the God's side is that He's provided it. The man's side is that we got to do what He says to get it. Pastor lays out $50 bills for everybody on the pulpit. Says, after service, come grab one. There's a big crowd up here and just walk out. Can't believe I didn't get any of that money. That mean pastor gave everybody money but me. Well, you just didn't do what it took to come get it. He's already provided everything you need in the Word. Do what it takes to get it. It's just the truth.
Amen.
Psalms 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Now notice this, blessed. You know what blessed means? Happy, fortunate, one that is envied. Wouldn't you like people to, not in the sense to be bragging, but it would denote that you're in a place of blessing, that people actually look at your life and say, my God, I want my life to look like that. Not because you want to be boastful, but that would say that you're in a good spot then in life. Well, that's what that means. Blessed, happy, fortunate, one to be envied. That's what that word means. It says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that, notice this, delighteth greatly in His commandments. What's His commandments? His way of doing things. The Bible says the person that looks at the commandments of God or the Word of God and says, wow, I delight greatly in that. I love that. I don't mind that. I'm not mad at that. The Bible says they're the blessed ones. Verse 2 says, His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in His house. Whose house? The one that delights greatly in the commands or the ways of God. Wealth and riches. The one that see the Word and do the Word and are excited about the Word, wealth and riches are in their home. Manward side, Godward side. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. We will not struggle after this series. We will walk into every single thing that God has for us.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1 says, and it shall come to pass if... Sorry, I yelled there. I had to get that across. I was like, that was loud. I heard that. I said, that's pretty loud. If you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if, everybody say if,
yes,
if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. What's the voice of the Lord thy God? His Word, and whatever He says in your heart. If you look at the Word and what He says to do financially and you say, I'm not doing that, I don't care how much the Bible says that, don't expect to have what the Word says you can have. Just know you'll always live below what God has provided for you.
Right.
Because the way you get into some of those things are through obedience. Doesn't the Bible say in Isaiah 1 and verse 19 that the willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land? Oh, I want to get to the good of the land, Pastor. Well, you got to go through the channel and the avenue of willingness and obedience. You can't get to the good of the land without going down those roads, right? Hallelujah. It's like this. It's like there's a one-way street to the good of the land. And the only way you get there is you got to make a turn down willingness, and you got to make another turn down obedience, and it takes you right to the good of the land. Hallelujah, it's true. People need to know that. Why did he struggle to learn how to swim? Because he didn't listen to Dad. But when he listened to Dad, the struggle stopped. Why do you struggle financially? Because you don't do it God's way. Because he's made a provision and a way for you to be blessed every single day of your life. We saw it last week. The mark in the flow of the Father financially is increased prosperity and blessing financially. Say, I'm not experiencing that. This series is for you then. You're in the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. Praise God, because I've been there. I've been in such abject poverty before. Not only poverty, you can't pay my bills, but then debts on top of that. And I said, okay, I'll do it God's way. And he pulled me out every time. Every single time. He is faithful. Praise God. So let's start at the starting gate, shall we? You can't start a race halfway through. You can't start a race at the end. You got to start it at the starting point. And if you don't walk through this channel to start, you will never walk into the prosperity that God has for you. Amen? Say, I want to run that marathon. I want to run that race. Well, this is the starting gate. I'm going to win that race. Well, I don't want to start there. Well, you're disqualified already. I'm going to start up at the next turn. Well, then you're disqualified. You got to start at the starting gate. Go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. You're going to get a whole different take on this morning. And let me just say this. The people that know where I'm going, you say, I've been doing that for years. Don't tune me out, because God's going to talk to you about some things too. Amen. Because it's not about just the act of putting it in the bucket.
Yeah, that's good.
It's not about just the act of putting it in the bucket. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, the church ought to be full today with people just wanting to learn how to increase.
Yeah.
That's why I read on Wednesday night what Pastor Nancy Dufresne said. People want to hear from God and they don't show up. True. Say, well, God, I want God to speak to me. He was Wednesday night and Sunday morning. And if people had a revelation that actually God was talking to them on a Wednesday and a Sunday, schedules would get adjusted.
That's right.
Amen. If God Almighty was talking to you, oh, God's going to actually talk to me. If you really believed how he's doing it in the Bible, which is what we talked about on Wednesday night, if you didn't get the message, go on live stream. The three primary ways that God speaks to his people in the Bible are through the Word of God, through your pastor, and through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
People say, I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. You do. Where were you Wednesday?
God.
He was talking to you. I want to hear from God. Where were you Sunday? People will go without during this series. Why? They didn't hear what God had to say. It's just the truth. I say, that's harsh. No, I'm trying to be compassionate, letting people know this is how God moves. This is how God does things. Absolutely. Why do you think Jesus said, without a pastor, you're scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, like sheep without a shepherd? Why? Because the shepherd's job is to hear from heaven and tell you what God is saying about your life. That's exactly how it's supposed to go. You can kick against that and fight against that and say, I want it a different way. Well, then you're going to have to get a different Bible, because that's what the Word of God says. Amen. I don't know why I said all that, but someone needed to hear it. Someone needs to renew their mind that when they walk through this door, God Almighty is going to speak to them. Now, I'm not God. I'm not saying that. Don't take that way. But he's going to speak through me and tell you what you need to hear. Say, well, Pastor, but I can't be here. I work. Well, then believe God to have your schedule adjusted. He understands you have a life. But I'll tell you what, there's some things that I don't understand that people trade in for the voice of God. Well, they just don't have their mind renewed. You need to renew your mind. God's speaking to you. What's he trying to do? Bring you higher. No condemnation. This isn't even in my notes, just so you know. So someone needs to hear this. No condemnation, but I'm telling you, you're missing out. Until you get a revelation that my God is speaking to me in that place on a Wednesday and a Sunday morning, you're going to miss out on what God's saying. Because that's when he's doing talking. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Oh, we love you, Jesus, don't we? And don't blame the messenger. Blame the source, which is God. Get mad at him. Don't get mad at me. Well, Malachi 3 and verse 10 says this. What is the beginning place? Well, look what it says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Well, And it says that there may be meat in my house. So that tells us what the storehouse is. The house of God. My house. The house of God. The tithe, if you've never heard that word, if you heard that word, don't know what it means. A tithe means a tenth part. One-tenth of something. The Bible says, whatever comes your way, a tenth of that, God is saying, bring it to me in my church, right? Now, this is what I want you to see. Oh, we're going to help you with the tithe today. We're going to help you. Lord has given me some neat revelation on this. But notice what he says. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. Now notice this. Why did I say it's the beginning and the starting gates? Look what he says when you bring the tithe. He said, I will open the windows of heaven. Open the windows of heaven. What does that mean? When the windows get open, the blessings can start flowing. And oh, we're going to answer thoughts that people have had about the tithe today. Wrong thinking about the tithe by the word of God, not my opinion. He said that the tithe will open the windows of heaven. Well, you need to first, if you're going to go into a building, it's like I walk up to Cabela's in Wheeling, West Virginia, and I see the outside of that thing, and I know what's on the inside of that. If I'm going to experience that, I got to open the door and go through the door. You want to experience all that God has for you? You need to open the windows. You know how you're going to open the windows of heaven? Through the tithe. The first thing that I'll talk to people when they tell me they're struggling financially, are you a tither? Are you a tither? Because if you're not, I can't help you. I can't help you. Amen. Now, well, I just better not get ahead of myself. We better just slow down here. But let's real quick look at God's view of the tithe, Leviticus 27 and verse 30. And for those of you that are saying, that's Old Testament, Pastor Mike. That's law, Pastor Mike. Oh, you just hold your horses. We'll get to you. Leviticus 27. Leviticus 27, in verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, whatever it is the Lord's. But notice the end of it. It is holy unto the Lord. Do you see that? Do you see God's view of the tithe? It's what to him? Holy. It's a holy thing to God. He looks at that and says, this is a holy thing. It's a holy act of worship. It's holy unto the Lord. Praise God. Now go back with me to Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to show you some things the tithe can do for you. Malachi chapter 3. God's good. He just wants to help people. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Whose sakes? The tither's sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations of the earth shall call you blessed. Who? The tither. For you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Now go back with me to verse 10. Look at the blessing of the tithe here. Because when you hear things, you might think, well, it's just pastor trying to get money out of us, just trying to swindle. Well, let's look at the blessing of the tithe or what it's for. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Number one, why? That there'll be meat in my house. He says, without the tithe, there will not be adequate provision in the house of God. I don't know if you know this or not, but Walmart and Applebee's and Kmart and Denny's and gas stations and all these places, guess how they run? With money. Guess how churches run? Money. And God knows it. And he says, without it, there won't be provision. But then he goes on to say this. He said, I'm not just interested in my house getting taken care of. He says, prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. He says, I have your heart and mine too.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And not room enough to receive it. See, we got to think right about money too, because I think it was the cartoon DuckTales. DuckTales, woo. You remember that cartoon? if I remember right, one of the ducks had a whole room full of gold coins.
Yeah.
Scrooge McDuck had it all, right? Yeah. That's his overflow, right? We get that in our mind that that's overflow and abundance, but let me ask you, how many pairs of socks you got?
Yeah.
How many pairs of underwear you got?
Yeah.
How much space in your house do you have that you don't need that much space?
Yeah.
How many vehicles does your family have? How much food do you have in your cupboard? How much food do you have in your refrigerator?
Yeah.
We don't think about that as being abundance and overflow. We just think, well, my checkbook's not overflowing. Must be the tide doesn't work. Oh, just because you're in here today tells me you got it pretty good. Yeah, you got to think right about it, right? But look at this. He said, and all nations shall call you blessed. So there's, number one, the blessing of the tithe is to provide for the church. Number two, the blessing of the tithe helps God get more into your life. And then number three, he said, I'll rebuke the devourer. On this topic of blessing people, I remember I was preaching at the Jamestown Church years ago at their Friday night ministry. It was called Pillars of God. And I wasn't the senior pastor of the church. I was an associate, but I had me preaching that night. And I said something. I didn't know I even remember say it until a woman came up to me months later. And she said, she came up to me after service in tears. She said, I said, what is wrong, you know? And she said, nothing's wrong. She said, I was at your service a couple months ago. When you said in a message, we were talking about diving in head first with God and doing it God's way. She said, when you said in the message, she said, why don't you just dare to do it God's way for once in your life? That's what I said. She said that I said, why don't you just dive in once and for all and just do it? What do you got to lose? What would actually happen if you would just believe the Bible and do it? Well, when I said that, she said it triggered something in her. She said, he's right. Sure ain't working my way. What have I got to lose? Either God's a liar or he isn't. And ladies and gentlemen, he isn't. She said, I did. I started tithing. I started giving offerings. She said, I'm going to put it to the test. Well, he said, put me to the test.
Right.
He said, prove me. He said, I double dog dare you to try this. He did. So she did. And she started weeping, naming all the blessings. And she said, and there's no way these are just coincidental blessings. These are miracles. And she started naming one after. I said, just another testimony. I've had people in this church tell me they started tithing and they got houses. They got jobs. Things opened up for them. Praise God. Why? It opens the windows of heaven. A whole new life of blessing starts when you start tithing. Absolutely. You don't know what you're missing. You don't know. And let me just clear any thoughts and wrong thoughts. Why would I say that if it wasn't true and I wasn't doing it? You say, well, you say it because the more money. Listen, I started this church with zero. And for almost 2 years had zero. I could give a rip about your money. God is my provider. You're not. And stop thinking you are. Because I sure don't have my faith in you. My faith's in God. You all stop giving. I don't get paid. Don't matter to me. God will get it to me some other way. Why? Because he's done it before for me. I could give a rip. I care about you. And if you think that way about me, why are you here? If you think that's why we stick to the safety net of the Word of God. And I have seen people get houses and jobs open up in favor when they started doing this.
That's right. Hallelujah.
What does the Bible say in verse 11? He says, I'll rebuke the devourer. Who's the devourer? The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I'll not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. Let me give you a couple quick testimonies. Our old house that we moved into, the house inspector that looked at it, he said, we can pass this. But just so you know, within a couple years, if it makes it this long, you're going to need a new furnace and a new hot water tank. That's what he said to me. And he said, we can pass it now, but just know. It was 9 or 10 years later that we finally had to replace that thing. And when they came in to replace it, because I remember what he said, I said, is this just a coincidence and by chance that this lasted? He goes, no, we've never seen these things last as long as they have in this house. We're not sure. It must just be a fluke. And I thought, tither. He said, things will last longer. Pastor Jay Eberle, pastor's near Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He'll be at the meetings I'm going to. He told the story of one of the most faithful people in his church, came down with a condition where she was internally bleeding. She went to the hospital. It was grave. She was on her way out. And as she knew that she was dying, she just knew this was her time. She's dying. I mean, they were rushing around. It was crazy, chaos, you know, young, in her 30s, wife and mother of children. And she starts to go out in the hospital there, emergency room. And Jesus appears to her. You say, can that happen? Absolutely. The Bible says he gives visions and revelations. Absolutely. Happens to different people. And Jesus appeared to her, and she just figured, I'm dying. This is it. This is my home going. He's come to take me home. And she said, Lord, I can't die. I got a husband. I got two little kids that need me. And Jesus, she said, smiled. And his eyes just lit up with love and smiled and said, and it lit up. Now in the spirit realm, it lit up the whole emergency room. And he said, I've not come to take you. I've come to tell you, you're not going anywhere because you're a tither. That's what she said when she came out of it. Apparently, she was so important, what she was doing financially to help the plan of God. See, we look at it wrong. Your money translates into people's lives being changed. I remember Jeff tells the story. Jeff ought to be dead right now. Probably a few times. And if any of you are thinking, well, why couldn't that have happened? You're thinking wrong. We love that guy. You get that thought out of your head right now. I had a person say to me, Pastor, I say that because of this story, Pastor, you're going to have to forgive me. I said, why? I don't even know what you did. She goes, I've been having the worst thoughts about you. And I didn't know what to think. I said, and I'm joking around because I'm sarcastic sometimes. I said, you've been probably having jokes about killing me. She goes, that's exactly what I've been having thoughts about taking your life. I said, my goodness, Jesus, usher, get her away from me. Right? She was thinking about killing her pastor. Oh, glory to God. And Jeff had a mishap in his gun shop with a gun that he was working on that discharged for someone trying to fix. And the bullet went through the webbing of his hand and ricocheted off, was it your forehead? And he noticed blood coming down. Of course, that would cause for alarm. Well, he should be dead, and he noticed the blood was coming down, but he didn't really feel any pain and knew he was okay. And the Spirit of God, the first thing the Spirit said to him, you're alive because you're a tither. Amen. Is that true?
Amen.
I'm just making these stories up. We could stay here all night and just have story time about people that have come up to me that said, Pastor, when I started, this happened. When I started this. Does anybody have a testimony, right? I mean, we could say that. Pastor, when I did the Word. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible says it'll happen. Why do we doubt God? He said it'll happen. Praise His name forevermore. Hallelujah. Now, let's answer the critics. I don't believe we have any in here, but if we do, let's answer the critics. Pastor, that is Old Testament law stuff. We don't have to tithe anymore. You're right. You get to. You're right. You get to do it. And you're going to see after I get done with this part of the service, you're going to see, a whole different outlook on the tithe. Let's first find out where the tithe started. And I believe it started in the book of beginnings, in Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Now, for those people, and again, I'm not saying we have any in here. For those people that would say, now listen to this, for those people that would say, Pastor, we don't have to tithe anymore. What did we look at the purpose of the tithe being? To provide for the church and to provide and to bless people. Let me ask you a question. Why would that ever change? Did the church stop needing money in 2016? Did people stop needing to be blessed by the Father? Yeah, some things of the Old Testament might have changed. We don't sacrifice animals anymore. Why? The blood of Jesus sufficed. It was good enough. But why would we change the tithe when the purpose of the tithe was to get you more and to get the church blessed? Why stop that? What's the purpose of stopping that? People have wrong thinking towards it. But Genesis chapter 3 and verse, or actually Genesis chapter 4, I apologize, verse 1. Let's go to verse 2 for time's sake. Genesis 4 and verse 2, it says, and she, Eve, again bare his brother Abel. So this is talking about Cain and Abel, the children of Adam and Eve. Now notice their professions. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, right? Cain was a tiller of the ground. So each one's going to have a different type of a harvest. One's going to be in animals, one's going to be in crops, right? And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So Cain brought something to God, and we see, and Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel unto his offering. It doesn't say the Lord had respect unto Cain's, but here's what I want you to see. First of all, where did they learn this from? They must have learned it from mommy and daddy. Yeah. Where did mommy and daddy learn it from? They must have learned it from daddy.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to be blessed? There's this thing called seed time and harvest.
Yeah.
You bring unto me, and I'll make sure you have enough. But notice the Bible says that the Lord had no respect for Cain's offering. Why is that? Well, we get a little bit of insight. Verse 4 says, Abel brought of the first.
Yeah.
Cain, and some people say, well, Cain, Abel's had to do with blood and all that. No, it wouldn't have been fair for Cain. He didn't have anything to work with blood. You don't cut a squash open and it bleeds. That's just the profession. What? He just gathered up, well, what was left? Let's just bring it to God. Abel said, oh, where's the best? Where's the first? Let's bring it to my God. And God said, oh, I like that. I like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. The first. The first. Go to Proverbs 3 to see the first. Proverbs 3. People say, I can't tithe. You sure can if you do it first. See, when tithing is the last thing on your bill list, well, if I pay all my bills, I'll give my tenth. Wrong way of doing things. Praise God. I'd rather go without than disobey by God. And I'll tell you what, if you disobey your God, if you go without and obey God, you won't be going without for long. It'll turn that cycle around. Woo, glory. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. We're not even at the best part yet. We're getting there. He says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the what? First fruits of all your increase. When you get an increase, the first thing ought to go to God.
Amen.
The tithe.
Yeah.
The first thing you do. Well, I calculate this. Oh, I guess there's only enough for 2% for God this. Oh, you're doing it wrong. You're not, you know, you have an honor problem. You say, no, I have a money problem. No, you have an honor problem. Because the Lord says, I want the first. Because he knows. See, you can look at it and say, Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. Pastor, God, it would be like that to make me be in lack. He knows that if you obey him, you won't be in lack for long. He's trying to reverse the cycle. It comes through obedience.
Amen.
Absolutely. I heard a minister one time say, well, start at 2%. If you can start at 2%, you're doing good. And in my ears, it seemed good. But in my spirit, I was like, wait a minute. And disobey God? When is it ever okay to disobey God? It never is. Do what the word says.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, then we see Abraham. Go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. And verse 29. Talking about the tithe. It's the windows of heaven opening up. Galatians chapter 3. And verse 29 says, and if you are Christ, are you Christ today? If you've accepted Jesus, you are. If you're Christ, then you're also Abraham's seed. The Bible calls Abraham your father. Father Abraham. He's in a different context than he's the father of our faith, right? He's our example in faith. If you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go with me. Yeah, let's go to verse 8. Hallelujah. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you, Abraham, all nations shall be blessed. So verse 9 says, so then they which are of faith, notice this, are blessed with faithful Abraham. Pull that up in the Amplified, Josh, verse 9. Look what it says. So then those who are people of faith, are anybody here people of faith? Are blessed and made happy and favored by God as partners in fellowship with believing and trusting Abraham. The Bible's telling us that we can look to Abraham to see how to be blessed. He's our example. Well, go to Hebrews chapter 7. I didn't know the New Testament said anything about tithing. Oh, yeah. You know why I truly believe the New Testament is not doesn't have a ton of it on it? It was so normal. It was such a just, that's what they do. They bring their tithe to the temple. They give to God. It was absolutely a normal thing to do. Praise God. But the one thing you won't find is it does not say not to. It doesn't tell you to stop it. Hebrews 7. Now I got to figure out how I want to do this for time's sake. Because this will get confusing here in a second. Let's just read down through it and I'll translate it for you. It says, for this Melchizedek, who is the king of Salem. Now notice this. Priest of the Most High God. He met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now notice this. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. This is the tithe. Now there is a space and time in the Bible when it was a law, when God required it. But this is 430 years before God ever said, do it. Our Father, the one that we're blessed with, our example, just did it on his own. We don't live under the law anymore. We live under grace. We don't have to be told to be generous. The grace of Jesus Christ should make us generous.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God.
It says, Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first by being interpretation. Now notice this, calling Melchizedek king of righteousness. Who else is called king of righteousness? Jesus. Notice this. And after that, king of Salem, which is king of peace. What's Jesus? The prince of peace. So this Melchizedek had a lot of features that Jesus has. And Abraham recognized that and said, I got to give a tenth to this man. Verse 3, without father, this is talking about Melchizedek. Notice this, without father or without mother, without descent, having neither beginning days nor end of life, but he was made like unto the Son of God. He abides a priest continually. It's saying this Melchizedek came out of nowhere. He's a king of righteousness, king of peace. Didn't have a dad, didn't have a mom, just showed up on the scene. Some Bible scholars, and I'd have to get God to reveal this to me, it sure seems good, believe it was Jesus. Who's a human being that doesn't have beginning or end of days? Jesus has always been. Yes, he had a natural birth, but he was here way before his natural birth. Hallelujah. That's what they're saying. So what basically what you need to know is this priest is likened, which it says here, unto the Son of God. Right? Jesus has no beginning. You say, yeah, he did in the manger. No, that was his natural earthly beginning. But his real beginning, there's no beginning to God. He's beginningless. He always was. You say, I can't figure that out, man. Wait till you get to heaven, because I can't either. I just know in my heart it's so. Hallelujah. Like the Son of God continually, verse 4. Now consider how great a man this was, to whom even that patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are the sons of Levi, now Levi is the Levitical law, which is the law to do it, says, who receive the office of the priesthood, they have a commandment to take tithes of their people according to the law of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. So he's saying, Melchizedek wasn't even in the Levitical priesthood. It wasn't a law, yet Abraham gave him tenth. And it wasn't even a command. That's what he's saying here. Stay with me. I'll try to explain it here. Verse 6, but he whose descent is not counted, who's Melchizedek, don't know where he came from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Now notice this, and here men that die receive tithes. What's he saying? In the Levitical priesthood law, those men will die, but they're the ones that receive the tithe of the temple. Said they receive tithes. He said they receive them, of whom it is witness. But he says, but there is that receives them. There is somebody that receives them of whom it is witness that he liveth. Who's that talking about? Jesus. Still, to this day, receiving the tithe of the people. Yes, those priests, they're gone. They have an end of days. But Jesus, he receives them of whom it witness still liveth. Verse 9. And I may so, Levi also, who repay... And as I may so say, Levi also who received tithe paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If, therefore, perfection were met by the Levitical priesthood for under what the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise out of the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Now notice this. For the priesthood being changed is also made a necessity of change of the law. Hallelujah. Where do I want to go here with this? Because I don't want to read this whole thing. Go to verse Go to verse 20. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made a priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this, talking about Jesus, with an oath by him that was said unto him, the Lord swear will not repent, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Saying Jesus continually, he's still our high priest. Jesus is the high priest that liveth forever. Verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Now let me ask you this, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says that Jesus, that the Old Testament, they paid their tithes to the priests. It was a command. The Bible says Jesus is way better than them. And that Jesus came kind of in the form of a Melchizedek. Melchizedek was in the form of a Jesus. And Abraham recognized the greatness on him and paid him tithes. How much more in the new covenant that our priest liveth forever. What, we don't honor him anymore financially? And we pull back? Yet they honored men during the law way more than we would honor Jesus, when we know that money is an indicator of our heart and money is an indicator of honor. We have a better priest that's ever been, that liveth forever, that died on the cross for our sins, yet we don't honor him with our money? How much more? And what he's saying here is that if they did it under a law, Abraham did it a better way with no law, recognizing the greatness, and now Jesus takes the place and liveth forever. Why would we stop? Why would we stop? Hallelujah. Are you ready now? This is where we're going to wind this thing up. Because I used to be, I say this word very loosely, accountant. Because I had no degree, I could use a calculator. So I guess if you can use a calculator, and Pastor Mike's idea, you're an accountant. At the Jamestown Church, I did their offerings with somebody else. You know, there's always more than one person. And I was the one, after it was all counted and signed off by the ushers, I'm the one that put it into the account. So I saw what people gave. And I saw how people would continually, they'd give the same thing every week because, you know, if your paycheck's the same, the tenth would be the same. And I'd see people write it to the exact penny every single time. Now, if you do that, just don't, you know, I'm not being mad at you or mean, you're getting to a point here. They do it to the exact penny. Why? They wanted to make sure to stop. I mean, you barely just get them to the 10%, but when they got to the 10%, they're stopping, right? Let me show you something in the Word. Because I'm going to show you this, that the law of grace in faith requires more than 10%. Say, oh, God, don't say that to me. You're already scaring me with the tithe. Let me say let me explain what I mean here. Because our mentality, if your mentality is, okay, I'll just get to the tithe, but then don't talk to me anymore, that's a wrong heart anyways. Right. Let me show you what I mean. How much more should we be more generous under the new covenant of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and giving us eternal life? How much more generous should we be than when they were forced to do it under the law? You say, oh, I don't know. Well, let me give you an example. Because people take this stance of, it's my money, and I worked hard for that money. Let me ask you a question. How did you even get here? You know how you even got here? God thought it was a good idea to make people. If he didn't make people, you're not here to say, my money. I worked hard for that money. Oh, you did? Let me ask you, where'd you get the air to breathe, to be able to keep making the money? He sustains you. He keeps you alive. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's. Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything you have is from the beginning stages of because he thought it was a good idea. Amen. Let me give you an example. This Lord gave me this yesterday, and I slammed my hand on the desk. I said, Father, that's good. Now you're going to think that I'm nuts. Well, I will just say you'll think I'm more nuts. Now my favorite chocolate candy is a tie between Kit Kats and M&M's. I don't know if you had to really put my feet to the fire, I'd be tough. If I had to pick one for the rest of my life, oh, I'd be tears with that choice. And then my favorite non-chocolate candy, and again, take notes if you need to, because Easter baskets and things have candy usually. Pastors like Easter baskets with M&M's, Kit Kats, and pull and peel Twizzlers. You open a bag of pull and peels, it is intoxicating. The smell of the cherry, you ought to try it. I mean, I just spit thinking about it. My mouth's watering thinking about it. Glory to God. But a bag of regular M&Ms has about 30 to 35 in them. I actually Googled that, by the way. I Googled that. My son loves M&Ms. I am like God to my son, right? I am his provider, right? I one that gives him. So I can give him a pack of M&Ms. And for number's sake, let's say there's 30 in there. He rips that bag open and he dumps them in a bowl. I gave them to him. He has a bowl of M&Ms, 30 of them. And I say, buddy, let me have some of those M&Ms. And he says, no way. I'm going to look at him and say, huh? You only have those M&Ms because of me. You only exist because of me. Don't ask me how you got here. Please, don't ask me how you got here. But you're here because of me. Right? And I'm going to look at him backwards and cross-eyed and say, what do you mean, no? When people don't give to God, what are they doing? Because some people don't give anything at all. And God's saying, I need this for my kingdom. I need this so I can bless you. And let's just say that he says, okay, here's one. I'm going to look at him and say, you're crazy, kid. Let's even bump it up. What's a tithe of 30? Three. A tithe, the tenth part is three. I'm telling you right now, if I ask my son for some M&Ms and he has a bowl of them for him and he picks out three and gives them to me, that ain't happening. That's not going to suffice for me. What's going to suffice? Sure, Dad, absolutely, with a good attitude, good heart. Here you go. Not one for you, Dad, two for you, Dad, and three for you, Dad. What am I saying? The tithe is such a beginning point. It's 90%, God says, is yours. And people have trouble with giving God three out of 30 M&Ms. It's the truth. It's the truth. Don't talk to me about my money. It's not your money. It's God's. You're just a steward of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely. Amen. And you give God your little one, two, three. Okay, I hit the tithe. I would say, now get this. If you stay at the tithe, understand what I'm saying. We're trying to bring people up in whatever level you're at. We're trying to bring you up higher. But you could say, and I will prove it by the Bible, that if you're a stop at just the 10%, which people struggle to even get there, you're a cheapskate.
Yeah.
If he gives me three M&Ms out of 30, you're calling my son cheapskate. He's selfish. He's stingy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We give God, oh, okay, I'll do the 10. Seriously? Let's look at New Testament. Well, I'll just point this out. You can look at it. It's Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. Do you know what the early church's percentage points were? 1-0-0. He said they gave 100%. The Bible says that they had all things in common. And anything that they had in their possession, they counted it not their own. They gave it freely. That was New Testament giving. And guess what? Where was the greatest moves of God ever in the history of the church? Back in the book of Acts. We're trying to get back to the book of Acts days. With what? Miracles, signs, and wonders. People being healed on the street. Miracles, legs growing out. People that can't walk, jumping up. I mean, that's what happened in the book of Acts. But see, if we're going to get to the book of Acts, we got to be like the book of Acts. And if we can't even get to 10% and then given an offering of something that was never even yours in the first place, that you'd never even have if it wasn't for a merciful God, we'll never get to the book of Acts days. Because your heart is connected to your money. And if God does not have the church's heart, he will not be able to move. Absolutely the truth. Absolutely the truth. They said, whatever we have, not mine, it's whatever, you need it, it's yours. The church needs it, it's fine, go ahead. And God moved mightily in their midst. Am I telling you to give 100%? No. But I'm telling you to be faithful with the tithe. To start things. Say, what does that mean? Okay, what's your paycheck next week? 2 times 0.10. That belongs to God. It's holy unto him. It's holy unto him. Why would God tell you anything to hurt you? Why would God tell you anything to make you suffer? He never would. And then we'll close and give me 1 minute. For those of you that can say, I do this all the time. For those of you that can say, I've tithed faithfully for years, and if I've seen a change, I don't know it. Well, let me ask you a couple, let me point out a couple things. You can say, oh, I've been doing this message. I didn't need to hear this message. I do it every single week. Let me ask you, what's your attitude when you write that tithe check? Because the Bible says we're under the law of faith. The just shall live by faith. Any act that you do in obedience has to be done in faith. You can say, see in the Bible, it tells you to go to church. And you can come in, sit down, rolling your eyes, checking your watch. When's he going to stop talking? You can do that. You did the act of it, but you won't get anything out of it. You can, God, stupid tithe. I wish he'd shut his mouth on that thing. Every single service, he's talking about this dumb thing. Here, take it and shut up. You can do it. And I know there's attitudes out there like it. Oh, I know it. And you can do that. Don't expect it to work for you. Faith activates everything. You want to know what I do when I write my tithe out? Glory to God. Father, it's an honor. I wouldn't have this if it wasn't for you. I get to help the church. And Father, you said you'd bless me, man. It's win-win. Lord, thanks. Appreciate that. Love you so much. Write it out. Offering comes. Oh, it's an honor to give it. Pray over it. Thank you, Father. It's a great honor to bring this to you, this offering. Drop it in. Say, I'll see you. See you later. You'll come back to me. That's faith. So what do you do? Is it like a bill to you? Is it on your bill list? It's just another bill, my 10%. Is it mundane, repetitive, or is it a holy, sacred thing where you're releasing your faith? You want the tithe to be activated, you got to do it with faith. Why? That's the covenant we live under, is faith. And let me just say this, and this is why we'll get to the rest of the series. Tithing can't trump other areas of disobedience. If we point something out in the next week, because God's going to show us how to prosper. And if one of these areas is way off, we can't just continue to faithfully give the tithe and think, oh, it'll take care of everything. No, it won't. No, it won't. If your love walks off, don't expect your tithe to work. Absolutely. If you're not into the offering category and giving blessings that way, don't expect the tithe to do it to save your rear end. I'm telling you, if you don't follow the Holy Ghost and you keep doing things your own way, admit, don't expect the tithe to bail you out. The tithe isn't like this get out of jail free card. It's part of the process, but it's the beginning. You can't go on to the next ones until you get the beginning done. That's the starting point for your financial freedom, to be faithful with the tithe with a good attitude. Y'all have a chance to be faithful with it next week. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We glorify you. Thank you for this message, Father. Lord, I think of what Jesus did for me. My goodness, if I'm only giving Jesus 3 out of 30 M&Ms, seriously, after all you've done, Father, now, some of these things had to be painted with a broad, bold brush here this morning, Father. But Lord, it's true. People have come in different times in their life. They've come from different teaching. Some people might be hearing this for the first time ever in their life. Father, you're merciful and you're patient. But Father, you're always encouraging us to do it your way. So if you're here and you can say, I've been in church my whole life and I haven't been doing that, so what? The answer is repentance. And you don't beat yourself up. If you come in and say, I never knew about this, I feel bad about it. Don't you feel bad about anything. Just start doing the word. God's not trying to make you feel bad. God's not trying to beat you up. He's trying to pull you up higher. So Father, I thank you that people are going to go higher financially. That, Father, we're going to walk into every single thing that you have for us. Father, I thank you that you want to see us blessed, but there's avenues and channels that we have to go through to experience that. I thank you. You'll point those things out. I thank you the secret things will be made manifest in this series, Father. There might be areas we don't even know we're doing it wrong, and it's hindering us from receiving all that you have. I thank you those will be pointed out. You're faithful. We love you and bless you this morning. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes, please. Nobody looking around. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, I say, heaven. I'm going to heaven. You say, how can you be sure? Because the Bible says if I believe in Jesus and I believe that he rose from the dead, and if I ask him into my heart, I know that I get to go to heaven. It doesn't have anything to do with church attendance. It doesn't have anything to do with how good or bad of a person you've been. Has everything to do with Jesus. And if you can say, Pastor, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I can tell you I do believe in Jesus. I believe he died and I believe he rose again from the dead. Well, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, you are a qualified candidate for eternal life. Doesn't cost you anything. You don't even have to come back to this church. You don't have to be a member of this church or jump through any religious hoops to get him to love you. So we're going to ask people with heads bowed and eyes closed. We won't embarrass you. We won't have you come to the front. We won't have you say anything. If you've already raised your hand and made Jesus the Lord of your life in a previous service, you don't have to do this again. I don't care if you had a bad week, a bad month. Just ask him to forgive you. He didn't take away your salvation. He said, I'll be in you and live in you forever. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if you've never received Jesus, now if you need to repent for something wrong, just do that in your private time. But you don't need to get to re-accept him into your heart. He didn't leave and go anywhere when you did something wrong. If you've committed, January 10th, 2002, I got born again. Well, since then, I've been stupid and done dumb things. But he didn't leave me. I just repented. So if you're here and you can say, I never have accepted Jesus into my heart, and I want to, I want to become a child of God and experience the goodness that he has. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. With nobody looking around, if you want to receive Jesus for the first time in your life, would you lift your hand in the air? Is there anybody that's never done that before? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. I see that hand. Thank you for your boldness. I see that hand. Thank you for your boldness. Hallelujah. Praise God. People have been getting born again like crazy lately. Olean too. Hallelujah. And it didn't cost anything. Anybody else that's never done that before wants to receive Jesus. Father, we had three hands go up. And Father, I thank you so much. Their lives are about to change and be different. You have such a better tomorrow for them. Now, I promised you I wouldn't embarrass you, and I mean that. I won't. But the Bible says you have one thing left to do. Yes, you believe in Jesus, but now you have to accept him. He won't knock the door of your heart down. He wants you to invite him in. So we're going to invite Jesus into our life. Now, you're not going to say anything on your own or stand up on your own or come to the front on your own. We're going to pray a prayer inviting Jesus into our heart. And I'm just going to ask that you repeat after me, and the whole church is going to pray with you. You won't be standing alone in this. So if you raised your hand or if you're listening by live stream and you want to get in on this, along with everybody else in this church, let's invite Jesus into our heart this morning. Say this with me. Say, Dear Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross for my sin.
I believe
that you rose from the dead, and I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever given a penny to this church to keep it going, you are part of people getting born again in this place. It's true. It's the truth. Well, before we get out of here, don't forget, no Wednesday service this week. If you prayed that for the first time, remember, the next step now is to plant yourself in a Bible-teaching church. Doesn't have to be this one, but make sure it's a Bible-teaching church that will tell you everything that God has for you. Have an awesome rest of your weekend. We will see you next Sunday. You're dismissed.